part of the growing up experience in life, I guess, is hearing people say in certain phrases, not sure where they got started. It just seems they pass down from one generation to the next. Like, put your best foot forward, or take that with a grain of salt, or they're fixing to tie the knot, or you're barking up the wrong tree. These things develop and get spread around and live from generation to generation. There's another saying that I was introduced to many, many years ago, and it's one that you have probably heard, a penny for your thoughts. I always thought that was the complete saying until one little lady in my church gave the other half of that saying, and I had never heard that. And she said, a penny for your thoughts and a nickel for the truth. Thoughts are something all of us have in great abundance. From my own experience, it seems that my mind never stops having some kind of thought. The Bible does not tell us everything that Jesus said, nor did, especially not everything Jesus thought. Now, some of the thoughts that cross our mind are troubling thoughts. They are frightening thoughts. They cause us stress. They cause us anxiety. They cause us continual worry. Some thoughts are so oppressive that they rob us of any chance of happiness and peace. We cannot seem to do anything but dwell on these difficult thoughts, bothering thoughts, troublesome thoughts. We can't shake them. We can't ignore them. And we seemingly just can't forget them. And we refer to those times in our lives as I'm going through a living nightmare. Now, did any kind of thoughts trouble Jesus? Did he have any nightmarish thoughts that were difficult for him to handle when he was forced to look upon these things, consider these things that would bring him this kind of troublesome mind? And I think he had one. And that would have been the experience of dying upon the cross in the sinner's place. That is, he'd be experiencing what a lost person goes through when a lost person finally ends up in hell. If I had to think about that, I'd tell you folks, that'd bother me. I think the primary reason that I came to Christ is because I didn't want to go to hell. And the very few hours or the few moments that I was forced to dwell on that theme, my mind was filled with troublesome thoughts. I don't like pain. And I don't like the idea of me being in a lake of living fire. And so this burdened me. And if I was Christ, there would probably be a lot of things that I would see day by day that would call to mind once again what I was fixing to get myself into, where I was fixing to end up. Probably not a day passed that Jesus did not see something that would remind him of the approaching cross and the ordeal that he would go through dying on that cross. Every year when the Passover celebration was celebrated, Jesus would have to go to the celebration. And guess who was symbolized by the Passover lamb? It was Jesus. He knew that. He knew he was a human Passover lamb. And so every year when that time came, Christ saw himself being sacrificed. Other things would be seen, I believe, that would trigger thoughts about his crucifixion. All during the year, it wouldn't necessarily have to be a feast time. When the moment of this ordeal finally did come, you remember what Jesus said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Being God the Son, he knew what hell was like. He knew what he was about to go through. And it was natural for him to draw back. This is not something pleasant. This is not something you can just simply ignore. And so, if Jesus saw things daily that would call to mind his death upon the cross, how could he ever be happy? You know? How could he ever get this out of his mind? So many things would remind him daily of the forthcoming crucifixion upon the cross, the separation from the Father, the agony of suffering physically and the agony of suffering spiritually. How could he keep his mind on his work? How could he ever be happy? Because every day when he might see something that would remind him of the crucifixion, he would also see some things that would give him reason to rejoice. He would also see things every day that would give him cause to take courage and to have hope and to go on. There were times when Jesus saw things that would test his faith, determination. Then there were times when he would see things that would encourage his faith and urge him on. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He would see things that would cause him to have joy or joyful thoughts, as well as see things that would cause him to have depressing thoughts about the crucifixion. Because of what he saw that reminded him of certain things that would bring him joy, it says he was willing to suffer the cross. One outweighed the other. The troubling thoughts were outweighed by the joyful thoughts. What was the joy that was set before Jesus that enabled him to go ahead and face and endure the cross? It had to be he had to look beyond the cross, which, of course, this is something a person who is lost in sin can never do. You can't look past if you're lost. You can't look past your doom in hell. You can't look past the lake of fire. You can't look past any of the sufferings that you're going to have to go through if you don't accept Christ as Lord and Savior. You can't look past that because there is no past. But for Jesus Christ, there was a past beyond the cross. There was a past beyond the suffering and the doom that would be experienced by a person in hell. There was a past for him. Something that would come after that. And so what did Jesus see when he looked past the cross? What was on the other side of the crucifixion? Well, he saw the empty tomb. That would be encouraging. He saw the escape from the ordeal of the suffering of a lost man. He saw the resurrection. Now that would encourage me, you see, to go on. That's something great past the crucifixion. Today we talk about this as being Easter Sunday. It might be better if it's a faith Sunday. The faith of Christ was that he was willing to be crucified. He would break free in 3 days of the grave. He had faith to believe that would happen. And so I say maybe instead of Easter Sunday, it ought to be the faith of Christ Sunday. Because he connected to his death the belief that he'd walked out of that tomb before he ever consented to die. So for Christ, this was a faith day, a great faith day. After 3 days in the tomb, Jesus' faith was honored, and sure enough, he did arise and walk out alive from the grave. Now, you either believe he did or you don't, and there's no need for me to spend the rest of the radio time arguing with you one way or the other about the resurrection of Christ. Either you believe that he arose in his body with a new body, or you don't. And so we'll just pass right on by that. Had Jesus, though, not had reminders day in and day out of his resurrection, I believe the thoughts about his crucifixion would have been a nightmare for him to endure day in and day out. I want to mention a few of the reminders that maybe he saw every day that would cause him to take courage and have joy as he approached the crucifixion and the cross. That is, there were certain positives that he saw every day that would be set against or offset the negatives that he would see every day that would remind him of the cross. Matthew 16:1-6. And when the Sabbath was passed, and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, and Mary Magdalene brought forth sweet spices that they might come and anoint his body. And in the early morning, at the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher. Now, notice this part right here. At the rising of the sun. How many days did Jesus see a sunrise during his ministry? You say, well, probably most of the time. I don't know, I couldn't say every day, but maybe every day Jesus saw a sunrise. What do you think that reminded him of? That day when these women would come to this tomb, the day he would arise from the grave. So every sunrise, every day, he'd look up, I may go down in death, but I'll come up on a sunrise setting one day after I die. Actually, 3 days after I die. Every day he was reminded maybe of his death, but the first thing in the morning he was reminded of, the Son, the Father said, Son, you will rise. On one day, on one morning, we call Easter morning, there will be a sunrise, S-U-N rise, and a sunrise, S-O-N rise. Do you follow me? Of course, the story goes on that they looked in, the tomb was empty. But I think Jesus could see this picture every morning when he got up. Maybe that's why he got up so early before sunrise to pray. He never thought about that. Why did he get up so early? Maybe because he wanted a daily reminder of the sunrise, that the sun is going to rise when he is facing the cross and goes through death. Our church this morning had a sunrise service. Maybe you went to one. It's probably the only time of the year that we get up for a 6:30 or 6 o'clock service. But Jesus saw many a sunrise. And I can't help but think if one who was going to go and die and face the darkness of death, that he'd never forget, there's one more guarantee. There's that promise. Every morning, there's that promise. The sun will rise. There was a Passover feast that Jesus was at that would, of course, remind him definitely of the cross, because there was the Passover lamb. The blood was shed. And it was a true picture of Jesus Christ who would enable us to escape death. That is, death would pass over us because of his shed blood. But the whole picture of Passover is about the death of the lamb. There are 4 places in the Passover feast where a cup of wine is drunk. During the drinking of the 3rd cup, Jesus initiates the Lord's Supper. And again, it focuses his attention on the cross. This is my blood. This is my body. There's only one more cup left in the feast of Passover to take. And Jesus did not, at this last Passover supper, said, I'm not going to drink of the last cup. He left one untouched. You say, why? Matthew 26:29. He said, he gave thanks and gave to them and said, I will drink this as my blood. And then he went to the 4th cup. And I say to you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. He's saying here, I'm not going to drink this cup now, but I'm going to die now, but there will be a day when I will drink this 4th cup with you. Now, folks, dead people don't drink cups. Dead people don't sit down at the table with you and have any kind of meal. Jesus says, as I look at this Passover supper and I look at the 3rd cup, I'm reminded all the time of my death. But when I come to the 4th cup, I look at it and I say, I'll be back, boys. When I come back, we'll celebrate my resurrection by drinking this 4th cup. Which Jesus says, as he looks at that cup, I got a future. Now, folks, dead folks have no future. And Jesus said, when I look at that 4th cup, I got a future. That 4th cup was a significant encouragement for him to go to the cross. I'll be back. I'll be back. Now, that wouldn't be possible, folks, had there been no resurrection. In connection with this promise that he come back and drink the cup with them is another promise that I think included an object that would daily remind Jesus that He would make it through the crucifixion and there would be a resurrection. Matthew 24, 27 and 30. As the lightning comes out of the east, by the way, every time Jesus would see lightning, I think he'd take encouragement. As the lightning comes out of the east and shines unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Dead folks go nowhere. They don't travel around. But Jesus says, as you see lightning flashing through the sky, you remember, I am going to come again. Dead folks don't come again. And then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man who is about to be crucified, they're going to yet see Him coming in the clouds. Almost every day you could walk out and see a cloud. Jesus would go out in the morning and he'd see a sunrise. Then during the day he'd look up all during the day and there were clouds. He said, you know, one day after I'm crucified, I want to come back on one of those clouds. Dead folks can't talk that way. Jesus is saying, the reason I'm going to come back on that cloud is I'm going to be raised from the dead. I'm going to be resurrected. I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm going to go up there and come back on a cloud. And so every day, the cloud would be a reminder. He could see a cup every day and said, that reminds me of that fourth cup I'm going to come back and drink with my people. Every sunrise, every cup, and every cloud, and every time he saw the lightning in the sky, he said, I've got a promise of the resurrection. He had a lot of reminders, folks, of the resurrection. Then, if you will, John 14, 13. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to go away. Now listen, dead folks don't go away. I mean, they don't go into the building business. They don't take up an occupation after they die. He said, I go away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I go away and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back. Hey, wait a minute, you're going to be killed. You're going to be in the tomb. No. Let me tell you something. Every time I see a house, and folks, that'd be every day. Every time I see a house, it reminds me of the house I'm fixing to go build for my people to inhabit with me. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to get them and take them back to my home I have built for them. So every day I see a house, it reminds me I'm going to be building a house, but I won't build it until I've been crucified. But it won't do me any good to say I'm going to build it if I'm crucified, if I can't say, but I'm going to arise from the grave, and then I'm going to leave, and then I'm going to start building the house. And so every house was a reminder of Jesus every day. I'm going to build a house like that. I'm going to build a house better than that. I'm going to build a house in a better place than that. But I'm going to build a house. Every time he saw a nail being driven, every time he saw a carpenter working on a house, yep, that'll be me one of these days. It won't be long. Until I'm crucified, then it'll just be 3 days until I'm raised, and then I'll go and build a house. So Jesus had the sunrise, and he had the cup, and he had a house, and he had clouds, and he had lightning, things he would see every day that would be a source of joy to drive away the nightmarish thought of the ordeal upon the cross. A dead man can do none of these things that I'm talking about. Talking about the lamb. When Jesus will see a lamb, and you see a lot of lambs, folks, in Israel. You see a lot of lambs. Everywhere you look, there would be lambs. He went to the temple almost daily, as the Bible says. He see lambs every day being crucified and slain by the priests. Every day it went on. But there were other times he would see the lambs in the fields. He'd see the lambs playing with the children, being hugged and loved and carried by their masters and owners. Not all lambs were pictures to him of crucifixion. There were other lambs that portrayed to him other thoughts. He said, I'm the good shepherd. Dead shepherds don't do anything for their sheep, but he said, I'll have my sheep forever. I'll be your shepherd forever. But there's another thing that this little lamb would remind Jesus of. There are two lambs, folks, in the Bible that portray Christ. There is the crucified lamb at Calvary, and there's the lamb that is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords sitting on the throne of glory forever in the book of Revelation. It's the same lamb. The lamb that is crucified on the cross is the lamb in the book of Revelation that sits on the throne and receives worship and praise throughout the ages. Well, how does this get to be? Well, the little lamb on the cross has to be resurrected and made to live again so that little lamb can sit as the lamb of the tribe of Judah on the throne forever. So every time Jesus would see a lamb that wasn't being crucified, yeah, that there I am. I'm the Father's lamb, and one of these days I'm going to be elevated, and I'm going to be crowned with the crown of power and authority on this earth. Revelation 5. I beheld and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four. Y'all read chapter 5 of Revelation. Sorry to interrupt, but just read chapter 5. All about the lambs being glorified. And it says here, I, John, beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, which had been slain. Animals that are slain don't stand. They're buried. But this lamb stand had been slain. And he came, the lamb. And he came and took the book of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down, and they worshiped the Lamb that liveth forever and ever. Now, wait a minute. I thought we crucified that Lamb back on the cross. You did. But He arose. In 3 days He came back to life, and now we find those in heaven falling down and worshiping Him that lives forever and ever. Not who has been dead since the crucifixion and will be dead forever, but now He lives and lives forever. He was only dead 3 days. So every time Jesus sees a lamb that's not being crucified as He goes about His daily business, the beloved lamb of the child, the beloved lamb of the man or the woman of the family, the beloved lamb, the pet lamb, the chosen lamb, the prized lamb, he was reminded that He is the Father's prized lamb. He is the Father's precious lamb. And He is the Father's pet. He is the Father's one to sit on the throne. And He shall live forever to enjoy that position as the Father's chosen lamb. And so Jesus would see a lamb every day. He's the one that wasn't being crucified. All right? There are many other things that I think Jesus saw that would remind Him of His resurrection. He would oftentimes pass by the temple, favorite spot of the Lord. John 2:19-21. Jesus said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, "Why, it took 46 years for this temple to be built. And you mean you're going to tear it down in 3 days?" And those, but Jesus was not speaking about the temple that took years to build. He was speaking about His body. And when therefore He was risen from the dead, His disciples remembered what He had said. Then they understood. He wasn't talking about taking a sledgehammer and going out and knocking down the temple in 3 days. He was talking about His body was the temple that would be taken down and destroyed by His death, but that in 3 days He would raise that destroyed temple and bring it back into being, and it would be a greater, newer, better created temple than had ever been known. He would have a better temple, an unusual temple. And every time Jesus saw Him working on the temple, every time Jesus saw Him in the temple, every time He saw the temple, He'd say, you know, this old temple of mine, this body of mine, it's going to die. But oh, the glorious temple that it shall come out of it. The glorious temple that shall be built in its place. I cannot wait to get the glorified body that'll be mine just 3 days after this old body is gone. Now, that couldn't happen, folks. We haven't yet changed the body of a dead man. But he said, mine will be. And it'll be made better than it was when I first got it from my mother, Mary. Now, butterfly is always said to be the symbol of resurrection because of the dramatic change from a cocoon to a butterfly. It's a symbol of insect of the resurrection. Jesus would see butterflies. And he was saying, I'm going to go through a transformation. My body's going to be transformed one of these days. He'd see a wedding ceremony. He'd go to a wedding ceremony. And it would remind him of the resurrection. Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. This is in the end time, folks. And his wife has made herself ready. Why, dead folks don't get married. Dead folks don't take a wife. Dead folks don't have ceremonies and weddings. But Jesus said, oh, but this Lamb, I'll only be dead 3 days. Then I'm coming back and going away to that place we're going to prepare. That's my wedding present to my wife. And there's going to be a wedding. Dead folks can't get married. But he said, I'm not going to stay dead. I'm going to have a wedding. And I'm going to live forever and ever. He talks about being the vine and the branches. A dead vine can't give branches life. But he claims he's going to give us life every time he saw a branch. No worry, I'll give you life. But you're going to die. That doesn't matter. I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'll give you life. And so all these things that Jesus saw every day enabled him to face the cross knowing that there was going to be a resurrection. He had many daily reminders of the resurrection.